What can you tell us about his work in saying in the book called Helena?
Well, as you write the presented the picture very, very well there, that, you know, what this, the life of this woman and the journey of this woman is very much something which we can see parallels with the Lord of the Rings. It's a quest. We talk about the quest for the Holy Grail. Well, this is the quest for the true cross, and one can't think of anything really more worthy of going on a quest for than to discover the true cross of Christ. And you mentioned the miraculous evidence that authenticates the cross when it's discovered. But, you know, we should also bear in mind the pure, should we say, run-of-the-mill historical evidence that the early church was based in the Holy Land, and they knew where all these places were. So it's not as if, you know, they had to go and sort of just guess.
Right.
They already knew basically where traditions always said, going right back to the first generation who saw the crucifixion, where it happened and where the cross was buried. They just had to go basically and dig it up, which is what they did. So solid historical evidence backed with miraculous evidence. So a marvelous, if you like, source for a good novelist such as our mystery convert to take as this story. So there's two approaches he could take with his with St. Edmund Campion, another very exciting life that warrants a novel. He chose to write a biography, but with St. Helen, he chooses to write historical fiction, and it's one of his most memorable works.
Yeah, it says here in one of the biographies that I read of our literary convert that he described this as one of his and regarded it as his best work. But it was never treated that way by anyone who is a devotee, if you will, or critics that have reviewed his other works. And it is regarded today as somewhat of a minor work. Now, of course, based upon the facts and then fleshed out as a story, kind of like what, and maybe I know he's not, we don't have to do him as a literary convert, but maybe one day we can do a story on Archbishop Goodlier. Because Archbishop Goodlier did the same thing with the Synoptic Gospels. Took what we know, took it and said, okay, I'm going to put it in chronological order. And then using his talent and his skills, and he's a very good writer, filled in the gaps as a novelist in what our Lord might have been thinking or what the passages we all read together, what it say about his character and about, you know, what life was really like. It sounds to me like that's what our literary convert has done here.
Yeah, and I think that it's an injustice to describe it as a minor work. And I think that one thing I would say is that the reason I think that a convert liked Helena particularly was, first, we hadn't written the Sword of Honor trilogy, which I think he did consider to be his masterwork. So that hadn't been written yet, so we need to bear that in mind. But as regards Brideshead, there are one or two criticisms about it, particularly looking at the element of, you know, his celebration in Brideshead of the good life. You know, I think Chesterton, that said that the Catholic Church is like a good red wine and a good cigar, and I can't remember what the third thing was offhand. But this sort of understanding of the good life, of enjoying the good things, and good wine, good ale, good cigar, that he was criticized for the celebration of that aspect of things in some criticism, I think including by Christians and Catholics that he trusted and admired, and took it to heart somewhat and thought there was an element of what we might call gluttony in Brideshead, which, if you like, dampened his own enthusiasm for it, which I think is unfortunate, because I don't think that gluttony is really, I don't think it's gluttony. I think it is an authentic and legitimate celebration of the good things in life. Now, you can idolize those things, and in the absence of God, of course, it's very easy to idolize those things, and then that becomes problematic.